Yes. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is January the 8th, 2015, the new year. Happy New Year, everyone. And we're going to be talking today about goals, getting focused with your goals for the new year and getting clear about, specifically about your coaching goals for Performing Edge Coaching and sports psychology, as well as any other goals, that support that, your sort of habit, business habits, and creating balance in your life and all of that, everything that kind of goes along with that. And so that'll be great. I'll just present some information here. And the main purpose for these calls, of course, is to answer your questions and to connect with you. So, glad to have you all on the call. And can all of you hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay, just want to check the volume here. Yeah, that sounds great. So, so we've got two new people. Joshua, and Brett, do you want to introduce yourselves?
Hi. My name is Joshua Cromley. I live in the Seattle, Washington area. So it sounds like a lot of you are East Coast, or some of you anyways, and then I'm over here on the West Coast with Joanne. She's for the South, but way up here in Seattle. Right now I'm a project manager for a telecommunications company. I don't know what I do to pay the bills, but this is something that I'm extremely excited about that I've been looking forward to a long time. I feel very lucky to be coached by the great Dr. Joanne Dahlketter. So I am really actually excited to be here and learn as much as I can. So I really appreciate being on the call.
Oh, thank you, Joshua. Yeah, good to have you aboard. Welcome, and excited to have you in our program. And your main sports are, were you saying, wrestling?
Yeah, wrestling, mixed martial arts, kickbox. Those are all the sports I grew up with from a very young age.
Yeah, that's great. So thank you. Yeah, and Brett, are you there? Do you want to introduce yourself too?
Yeah, I'm Brett Strout. I live down in Tampa, Florida, and I'm involved with hockey programs and do some work with the women's national team for the hockey program there as well. And I've always studied, the different mental aspects of the game and just looking to continue to educate myself to help with the athletes that I work with.
Great. Yeah, it's good to have you aboard as well, Brett. Thank you so much for joining us. And, Amy and Alex, do you want to introduce yourselves to Josh?
Yeah, I'm psychotherapist and in practice for almost 20 years, and I have added the sport psychology for the past 7, more or less. I live just north of New York City, and I am a consultant for a college nearby my house and reaching out to sports clubs, high schools, and athletes around this Westchester, New York area, offering the mental side of sports.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Alex.
Yeah.
Yes, always good to have you on our calls. You've been really consistent, and it's great. That's fantastic. Yeah, and Amy, are you there?
Sure. Hi, I'm Amy. I live in Philadelphia, and my background, I grew up as a competitive tennis player in Buffalo, and I played at University of Miami and coached tennis for many, many years, and then decided I wanted to get certified as a life coach, so I did that, and then I did some wellness coaching certification, and then I found Joanne and decided to get certified in this. So it sort of evolved from life coaching to working with athletes, which I'm really enjoying. I do some work with the Pennsylvania Ballet and the Pennsylvania Ballet School and some tennis players and some workshops and some colleges around Philly. So things are going well.
Yeah, fantastic. That's great. Well, we want to... today, thanks, Amy, and I want to talk today about gaining focus, getting clear for your about your sport, performing edge, and sports psychology coaching goal for 2015, and talk about evaluating your, you know, biggest successes from last year, from 2014, in your coaching business and maybe in your life, and then evaluating major challenges for this year and what you'd like to improve, and there are major challenges from last year, what didn't go as well and what you'd like to improve, and then looking at your vision for this year, what your ideal coaching practice would look like, and a new goal-setting formula that I have that's to create, you know, real productivity and income from performing edge coaching. And you know, since it's a new year, it's a really great time to kind of like reset your mindset, I think, and hit the reset button so we can all kind of start new. And even if things didn't go as well last year, we can push forward this year come to a new level. And, create a kind of a goal blueprint for performing edge coaches. We'll talk about that and an action plan. Using these performing edge principles for your own personal professional development too. I think if we, you know, it's really important to use these goals and principles for our own lives and practice, and see how valuable they are and see how they work, and that way we can be better role models for our athletes for coaching too. And then preventing ADD. I talk about kind of how to not get distracted. There's so many ways to get distracted these days with cell phones and Facebook and Twitter and all the online stuff and email. And it's really important to keep in touch with people, but also keep perspective on your goals and be able to stay on target with your plans. So to have a tracking system, and then how to take small steps towards your goal. Have a big goal and then, chunk that down into smaller pieces. And also how to, I think it's important at the end of each day and the end of each week and the end of each month to kind of celebrate what you have accomplished and then be able to keep moving forward and say, oh, okay, here's what I finished and here's what did not get completed that we'll just move into the next week or the next month and then keep moving forward with that, and take time to give yourself a reward of some sort. It's really important to keep yourself motivated, and then to just be flexible to be able to readjust your goals and schedule when obstacles are getting in the way, to be able to just say, okay, well, that's not working, or something got in the way, like maybe you got ill, or you know, life happens, things get in our way, but then be able to readjust and like get a new plan, see a new movie in your mind, just like we teach our athletes to, and keep moving forward. So it's a great time with this 2015, I think, to create a new momentum in your life and in your coaching. So, let me just ask you first, is there anybody that's wants to report any progress or successes, things that happened just recently, or kind of evaluate your biggest successes from last year? You guys can jump in, anybody? You guys there?
Yeah.
We're thinking.
Or just think about,
I wanted to thank you for last week, the conversation that you and I and Alex had. You gave me some good ideas. I'm doing these three workshops at St. Joe's University for the men's and women's tennis team and a bunch of their coaches.
Yeah.
And you really helped me formulate some ideas about emotional wellness for athletes, for college athletes, and doing it so that there's a series of different topics each and build on them each workshop, which I really like the idea. So I'm getting my information together now, but that helped me a lot from last week, from last talk, I mean.
Oh, great. And that's for tennis?
Yeah, it's the men's and women's varsity tennis team at St. Joe's University.
Great. Wow, fantastic. Yeah. Okay. That's a real concrete, specific way that you can use this information. Yeah, emotional wellness and... yeah, how to not, work with athletes to be more balanced all around and not just to focus on winning and performance. Yeah. So, great. Thank you, Amy. And you have to keep us informed about how that's going.
Yeah. I mean, I like it because it lets me do some of my life coaching as well as the sports psychology coaching and kind of deal with the athlete more as a whole person and then get into the different things that are going to increase their performance in athletics as well as their performance in their life.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah. So, great, yeah, that's good. Alex, did you have anything, things that you're working on?
The way I look at my business is like I had a major achievement a couple of years ago when I finished my PhD, and while I was trying to balance studying and developing this business, my sense was that I was devoting most of my time in finishing this degree that took me a long time to finish it. And this past year, I primarily devoted to setting the not only just reaching out to other new contacts, but putting together an improved website, and I'm now sending out newsletters and have an active blog, and so it's like I'm setting up the business, so it gets the wheels in motion. So my next step, which I'm beginning to do, is now to reach out to more clubs, to more schools, to more sports facilities. So in having all this background behind me, it'd be easier now to reach out to these people.
Great.
So I already have a couple of workshops in, at least on paper, set up for this coming summer. One of them is at Yale University, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
So I'm trying to replicate the same thing with other clubs and other universities and do the same thing.
Great.
So that's where I'm heading. So kind of a process, as I was talking to Amy before, but it's basically like being an athlete. We have to stay with the process, not focus too much on the end result. So stay one step at a time. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's great. Alex, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And the workshops, what topic are they on for setting up for the summer?
Just addressing the mental toughness, just an introduction to the mental skills and how to set up goals and strategies that implement fairly quickly. The idea is not to, it's just to make introduction to sports psychology, basically.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
fantastic. So, Joshua and Brett, I know that you guys are new, but I don't know, do you have any particular goals or things that you want to achieve this year?
Yeah, hi, this is Joshua. I have lots of goals for sports psychology this year. For me, it's like I kind of mentioned a little bit, this is something huge for me, something I'm going to dedicate all my extra time and focus onto achieving. It's, you know, when I first got enrolled, it takes me a long time for me to plan, decide, dedicate. I spend a lot of time trying to make, you know, clear decisions, gather information. When I do, then I feel confident that I can move forward, not have to worry about what else is behind me, or, you know, I can focus on the task at hand. And so this is kind of where I'm at with this. My goal is to break into this, you know, of course, part-time when I'm first getting started, but I quickly want to make this a full-time position for me, and I'm really excited to help people out. I really want to eventually build a successful practice where, you know, I'm doing it full-time and helping athletes that are at the top, particularly in, you know, wrestling and martial arts and boxing and kickboxing. That's where my background is to start, but, you know, there's other sports that I'm interested in, but really my main focus is help people. I want to be able to do that to the best of my ability. Really, really dedicated to making this happen. So I've set my life up in a way, in a position where I can actually do that. And guns blazing for me now, like straightforward ads. So I'm really excited. This year's going to be a great year for me. Perfect time to get started, right in January. So it couldn't have ended up being like an easier mark for me.
Oh, great. Well, thank you, Joshua. Yeah, it sounds like a really good goal, and you're really motivated and excited. And yeah, it's good that you have all those that background in wrestling and mixed martial arts and kickboxing, all of that. That's fantastic. Yeah. So, and then, Brett, are you there? Do you have particular goals for this year or a vision, what you'd like to happen?
Yeah, like we talked about a while back, you know, I want to start implementing more of the exercises, you know, in regards to the mental skills in the actual games and practices of the hockey teams I work with, and especially the women's national team. You know, a lot of athletes get a lot of good insight, but I think very few coaches actually apply these exercises, you know, during their practices and games, and I think there's a disconnect there, and so at least there is in the hockey world, and trying to not only educate players, but also help coaches take a look at, you know, that side of the game, because everyone talks about how the mental side is more important than the physical side, which it is, especially at the elite levels, and but very few coaches spend a lot of time on that. They spend more time on the physical, and so that's a need, especially at the younger levels of kids, a skill that needs to be developed, and so that's what we're working on, and long-term goal is to start a hockey academy down here in Tampa, and where we're implementing a lot of this stuff, you know, at the younger ages of kids.
Wow. Yeah, start a hockey academy. That sounds fantastic. That sounds like a really good long-term goal here, where you could really be in charge and just have total freedom to do what you want with the athletes.
Yeah, that's the key is to, you know, there's a lot more kids at any sport that could be at a much higher level. Or when I say higher level, I mean a lot of athletes aren't reaching their full potential, and a big reason is because they're not even close to where they should be or could be on the mental side of the game. And so that's a big area where I see players can't make it to the next level once they start climbing the ranks because they never really got the proper mental training. So that's a niche that I think needs to be filled.
Yeah, great. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Brett. Good. Yeah, we've got people from all over the country here. We've got Pennsylvania, New York, you guys, and we've got Seattle and Florida. All and I'm out here in the San Francisco Bay Area, so we got all ends of the country represented. we also have people in several other countries too in this program, and I think they call in. Hopefully, call in next time too. So, including Annie and Fernando, and they're in Mexico City, and they just were working with the equestrian, the Central American Games for the representing. They were the mental training coaches for the Mexico. The whole country of Mexico, their equestrian team, and they ended up getting the gold medal, both individual and team gold medals for their equestrian team in Mexico at the Central American Games. So that was really an exciting win for them and for using these mental training techniques. From our program. It was really exciting, so hopefully they can be on maybe next time to report about that, too. I've got a great picture of them I can share on my website, too. So, in terms of getting clear about your goals and gaining focus for 2014, I think one good place to start is kind of ask yourself a question of 2015, I should say. that's right, we're in a new year. Today, one question to ask yourself is, and people are always asking me, you know, Dr. Joanne, what are your best focusing tips that consistently cause you to increase your, improve your coaching business and increase your revenue and, reach and, help more people? And so I think that's a good place to start to first identify and understand your highest what I call them revenue generating activities, or RDAs, kind of like your RDA of vitamins, but this is RDA of revenue generating activities, meaning, you know, things that you can do that you're passionate about in your field and also can bring in income. And you know, if you think about what you do each day, things like checking email or social Twitter tweets or Facebook chatting, you know, those kind of things are probably not the highest revenue-generating activities, or RGAs, they're probably you know, the things that we get sometimes distracted with. And so what you want to do is identify those, write down, say, what are my 5 to 15 highest revenue-generating activities? So, and by, I don't mean we're just going for making money, but also for serving clients, you know, both of those things, to help you serve clients well and to bring in income for to support yourself. So that can be your kind of homework for this week, and thinking about this. We'll kind of go over these goals, this goal setting system and ideas over the next two or three BECI calls here. So this one on the 8th, and then again when we meet on the, it's always the, you know, second, fourth Thursday of the month at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 Eastern. So the next one would be the 22nd, January 22nd. So we can, you know, kind of go over part two of this too, and you can report back, you know, to the call if you'd like, you know, what your highest RGAs are, revenue generating activities. And, you know, they could include in business building activities. It could include things like, you know, if you're going through the PECI course right now for the first time, like Josh and Brett, and we have a couple other new people, Brian, that joined us as well, and another guy. So if you're going through that course, that would be, you know, one of your most important RGAs is, you know, just going through the course, each module, listening to the, and if you've already gone through the course, then you can go back and review those modules as well. Of course, the audios, and then the executive summary, and then the exercises there if you didn't get a chance to do all of those before. And then also, you know, if you go down below on that page, if you click on schedule on the Performing Edge Coach private members area there, click on schedule, and then there's each of the modules. And then below that is the replays for all of our calls, actually for the last 3 years. So it's a real wealth of resources there to go back and listen to those recordings. You can either listen to them online there, or a better way is just right-click and to download it onto your computer so that you can listen to them there. So it's a huge library that we've built of really valuable information. And so that's one of your, you know, RGAs, or revenue-generating activities, is to go through the course. You know, that's like your foundation. You learn and gain the skills that you need to do high-level, you know, coaching. And then, you know, some other examples are, let's say, reviewing, the course materials, spending 1 hour a day listening to those audios, implementing each of the steps in the course and mapping out. And then the next thing is like mapping out your projects for the year. I like to think of the year as breaking it down into quarters. So, you know, because the whole year, that seems too long, I think, for us to grasp sometimes. But if you can think of the year in terms of quarters, you know, 3 months, think of the year in terms of 3 month increments, and then focus on one key project for this first quarter of the year, and then map out your sort of four projects for the year. Or if you've got one big project, it's kind of you know, just like building your, well, going through this course and then building your.
Joanne, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is
that's
that better now?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay, I just got to hold the. Thank you for telling me. Yeah, I got to hold my my headset closer here. So yeah, let me know if you can't hear me. Thank you for letting me know. So I was saying, map out, you know, break the year down into four quarters, And so one quarter for each, every 3 months, think of it as the year in 3 month increments, and then focus on one project for each quarter. Or if you have one big project, then break it down into four parts. And so that's so you might think about that this week. That'll be your kind of a homework or assignment too, to kind of map out. And of course, it can change throughout the year. If one project is taking longer, then you know you can readjust as the year goes on. But if you can break it down and just kind of come up with four basic segments of the year, you know, January, what do I want to do? And then in April, I want to start either continue with that project or start something new. And in July, you know, what's the next step? October, you know, what's the next step? So kind of break it down that way. And then another good tip is to think in terms of threes. You know, the brain takes in three ideas, can hold three ideas more easily than, say, 10 things to do. So you know, be continually asking yourself, what are my three things? So, you know, write down your three-item action plan for each day. So let's say, you know, three things that you want to do today. So I think it just whenever I'm, say, even out on a bike ride or, you know, out on a run, I'm thinking, okay, when I get back, what are my three things I'm going to do this afternoon or this morning? And then once you complete those three things, then think of the next three things. And somehow when it just is so effective once you, if you can think of it in terms of three goals or three tasks for a period of time, then they tend to get done because you're just you can just check them off easily, and they're it's not overwhelming. So you know, for instance, three things could be working on your website, or your coaching page of your website or blog, updating that, or you know, putting the making sure the about page of your website is so important. Most people search there more than any place else, so make sure the about page, like about you, your bio and what you do is really up to date, and you have all the your contact information on there, and your picture and information about your coaching, or a link to another page with that. That's really important. You know, other ideas, you know, for your three actions, three things are, you know, putting an opt-in box on your website, which means, you know, building, putting a place for people to have their put their name and email for, so you can build your list of prospects who turn into clients. You know, having some place for people to opt in so that they get something free, a free report or a free audio from you, or something that's easy. And we'll talk more about how to do that in other calls. And, you know, another thing is writing emails that make a compelling offer for your coaching services. So if you have a list, or even if just have contacts of people from universities or coaches or different sports clubs, you know, writing, an email that talks about what you do and can maybe give a special offer for your you know, this is the new year. You could have a new year package, say three coaching sessions for a discounted price to get, you know, because this is a really important time of year when people are setting, just like you and I, we're all setting new goals for our coaching business. Also, athletes and parents are setting new goals as well. And so they want to, everybody's wanting to sign up for new things and, you know, create new, learn new skills and learn from you. And people just seem to be more open, you know, these first few weeks of January. So this is really a good time to offer something and reach out to clients. Even if you're new, like Josh and Brett, it's okay to, you don't have to wait till you're, you know, finished with the course to reach out to people. You can be doing that right away. And I know you're already working with people with in wrestling and in hockey, you guys, so you can continue to work with the people that you have in the course, in the module one and two there, the modules. You get a chance to, you know, work with a practice client and do some of the visualization exercises and other things to work with to work with people. So that's the best way to get new clients, I think, in general, is to offer a free session or a couple, two or three sessions to one client and show them what you can do, and then after that offer to continue on with a payment plan, having them pay for your services. So that's another thing, writing emails to reach out to people, and then save those emails so that you can either send them to a list and also individuals as they come along who might be interested in your services, and so you can send them out in the future. So, create a whole folder on your computer that's, marketing emails. Let's say email number one and number two, number three. Having that kind of set up so that you can save yourself time in the future, and then you can just customize them with each thing. It's great that we have all of you are different sports. Amy, you're working with tennis, and Alex with, is it soccer, Alex? I'm sorry. I forgot what sports. Alex works with a number of different sports, right? But he might be on mute right now. But then we got wrestling, and we've got...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm back.
Oh, yeah.
Muted.
What sports do you work with, Alex?
Golf, squash, and tennis.
Yeah, golf, squash, and tennis, right. Okay, so all of those sports are great and that you work with. And then we got... you guys are working with wrestling and hockey and... We have equestrian out in Mexico and, different sports. So all these same principles apply. So another thing you could do, examples of your three things you could be working on are, creating specialized coaching packages. So, something you might offer like a three session coaching package or five sessions, and that could include a visualization audio that you create for them with each session, and an assessment. Something that you could do. Sometimes people are more responsive to a coaching package or a certain number of sessions. That way, they don't. You can usually get more. A commitment from a person to purchase several sessions as opposed to just one, and they get to feel like they're going through a program as opposed to just a isolated one session. So those are some things you could do with your list of three things for marketing. You can pay do paid client consultations or coaching. Of course, that's one of the highest revenue generating activities is actually just getting paid to do your regular coaching. You could arrange a speaking engagement, like Alex and Amy, I know you're doing lots of those, to a speaking engagement or workshop, so talking with the meeting planners, whoever the decision makers are, to do that, to be able to reach out to people that way in a group, and then offer your coaching afterward to them. And you could actually, one revenue generating activity too is to record the talk as you're doing it, or record it ahead of time to practice it. And you create a CD and then be able to sell that CD in the back of the room. And oftentimes people want a replay of it, so they'll pay $15-$20 per person, for that CD, for that information there, or create a little workbook and sell that at the back of the room after your talk. Or you can do a talk that leads to a series of paid workshops. We had one woman that was in Colorado that was doing a coach, or PECI coach, that was doing coaching a ski team there, and also soccer she was working with, and she did four paid workshops and got $2,000 per Saturday, and she flew, flying to various places in the country to do these different workshops, and she did like a series of eight of them, $2,000 for each Saturday that she would go in. So that was really a good a use of her time to work to set up those workshops. Other things you could do with your three things, kind of your three-item action plan, would be things like creating a product, like an e-book, which are, it's digital. There's no cost to it. It's just, you could do articles And then you could put several articles together into an ebook or a special report, create a coaching audio where you simply just talk into your microphone. We say, write with your mouth, not your mouse. So writing with your mouth, meaning talking into audio rather than your mouse, which is, typing. And you could do that through lots of different ways, just creating the audio itself, or you could use something like Dragon voice recognition software, and that way you've got the audio and the and then converting it to text, and having a PDF or handout as well. Or you could create a video, with things like Skype or Google Hangouts, which I know Alex and Amy, you're familiar with that, and I'll be talking more about that for you guys, Brett and Joshua too. That you can do that. It's free, and you can look it up. Just Google it. Google Hangouts, it's like video conferencing, just like Skype, but much better. And it goes, it's free, and it goes right onto your YouTube channel. So that's a way that you can communicate, do a lot of marketing that way, and do short videos, like 1 minute or 2 minutes, to with each topic. Maybe answer one question. Think of all the questions that your clients ask you or that your athletes ask you, and then just take each of those questions and do a 1 or 2 minute answer. With videos, it's important to really keep them short for you to do marketing, because it's people have a short attention span, and they only listen for, say, 90 seconds maximum or 2 minutes. So rather than doing one long one, you want to do, say, a series of short videos. And you could also create CDs or DVDs. All those things are great products. Just another item for your list is just marketing your PECI coaching and your products. And oftentimes if you market a product, then, if you have a book or audio, then people get to know you, and then that's when they want to work with you as a coach as well. So I think of content is really important to offer people, not just market what you have, tell them what you will be doing, but actually demonstrate to them what you are doing, and give them really valuable articles, even short articles, say a 10 tips or 5 tips, 5 top tips, something short. And you can put that on your blog, on your website, or through an email, or a paper handout that you give at talks, so that you're actually giving them valuable, usable information right there before you, even before they're doing business with you, just to demonstrate that you can provide this valuable information. And then saying that you've got, I have a list of 10 tips, and here's the top 3. So you give them a actionable information that they can use whether or not they sign up with you. So that even if they don't sign up with you or do business with you, they'll have this valuable information, and chances are they'll use it and remember it and get back to you. But oftentimes just you giving them that valuable information right away, I think, allows them to realize that you are the expert in the field and that you can really make a difference in their lives. So you start, I think it's good to start training them, not giving hours and hours of your time away, but just a part of it, so that you can demonstrate what you can do to help them. So that's... I was going to say the Your Performing Edge book that you all have or should be getting in the mail too. I think Joshua, I just mailed yours. It's on the way. And Brett, I think you have the book, and all you guys have that, so you can show people that book as a way to get coaching clients, because you can have your information in there and show it to them. Or if you want to purchase more from myself, you can let me know and I can get those to you as a way to just show them what the until you write your own book. That's a way to show them the information. And I know, like Amy, you've used that in the book, Your Performing Edge, as sort of basis for training people. So you can take people through those different chapters in the book as a great way to get coaching clients. So that's kind of step, I've got a few steps here. Step number one is identifying your highest revenue generating activities and business generating activities. And then step number two, so you want to identify that and then, you know, think in terms of threes. What are my three things I'm going to do today? And maybe make a big list and then just pick three things that you're going to do each day to accomplish those. And then after you've complete them, put them on, rather than just crossing them off, it's important to put them on another, transfer them to, a Word document, another page that is, tasks accomplished, I think. And it's really important to acknowledge yourself for accomplishing those things, not just crossing it off and letting it fall off the list, but really putting it on another list that is, here's the things that I actually did. And it can, at the end of the day and the end of the week, it can really help you to feel like you're moving forward. And then step two is to schedule blocks of time for your revenue generating activities, so and business generating and coaching activities. So a lot of people feel they're working hard, but then when you may be working hard, but then you want to think, well, what did I really get done? You know, if you're doing a lot of checking email or watching other people's making offers and income through, say emails, you might feel tired and feel like you've really worked. And sometimes, you know, we can go through an entire day and never do one revenue generating activity or business generating activity. So you want to ask yourself, how much time did I spend with my RGAs, with my revenue generating activity, and how many hours, RGA hours, did I complete today? By revenue generating, I mean you may not be actually making money for that particular hour, but just doing things that will generate income and business down the road. So, it's like your RDA for vitamins. RGAs are like the health of your business. So, which my suggestion is, start with one RGA or activity and make that your goal. So, and then try to shoot for like 4 to 5 chunks each day, like 4 to 5 hours with a break in between each one. I know morning is the best time when you're fresh and you're most focused and most people are biorhythms or, when we have the most energy. Or if you're a nighttime person, that's okay too, to also have a nighttime period. But if you can do, one of these, really focused times, a chunk of time, 1 hour before your other activities, say before you go to your regular job or before you do other things, then you'll feel more accomplished. You'll feel so much better. So you're investing in yourself first each day, and your goal is to, shoot for one of these, think of it as a focused time of 1 hour when you're saying, I'm only going to do this one thing. Say I'm going to write this article, or I'm going to work on my this page of my website for this 1 hour. And block that time out on your daily calendar just like you would a doctor's appointment, in the morning. And then as you gain more time, you can, shoot for more like 4 to 5 of those RGAs a day, where you really have that focused time. So that's step two, is scheduling blocks of time for your revenue generating activities. And then step three is your sort of performing edge building is doing that morning night time routine. So you want to first of all, nighttime is like your foundation. So I'm talking here about kind of what we do at nighttime before we go to bed, and then what you do first thing in the morning, because those are two real critical times that kind of set the pace for our day and make you a lot more productive. So nighttime is just like your foundation, your healing, your processing, where you're setting yourself up for the next day. So just before bedtime, one of my suggestions is to try to have no screens. Well, no screens, I mean, not looking at your computer or your cell phone. You've probably seen some of the data coming out recently that there's the blue light that comes out from screens from your computer or your laptop people who sit in bed with a reading their laptop or their iPad actually have more trouble falling asleep and staying asleep because the blue, the particular light that's emitted from the screens actually hinders your sleep process and it wakes up your brain instead of allowing it to sleep. So try to not be looking at screens for the last 30 minutes before bedtime. So not be looking at emails, which is like influence from other people. You want to clear your mind so that you can put really good positive information into your brain right before you go to sleep at night. So you could be practicing your three P's, that we talk about, the positive images, power words, present focus. Write out the three goals. Ask yourself, what are my three things? What are my three things I want to accomplish for the next day? And they don't have to be huge things. Maybe they could be, contact one school or write out one article or work with one client. Those kinds of things. Just write out three things that you want to accomplish for the next day, and then practice your three P's, just like we do with our clients, with athletes, having them do the three P's. We can do the same thing for our goals. So you take positive images. You want to visualize those three goals for the next day and see yourself doing them right. Actually see yourself doing, okay, I'm doing step one, I'm doing task one, I'm doing task two, I'm completing that, I'm doing task three, and actually see yourself going through it, that process, and completing, focusing on each of those three things, three goals, and then finishing them. And then number two, the power words. You want to say your three goals out loud. So say to yourself, I'm finishing chapter one of my ebook today, or I'm focusing on my article on mental toughness today, or I'm, like Alex, you said, you're preparing, say, your workshop. I'm writing out the outline for my workshop today here. And so actually say them out loud. That's what power words are, is actually, directing our thoughts and directing what we say to ourselves and what we're thinking. If you say them out loud, say two times each, say that sentence two times, then it will ingrain it in your brain better. So I'm finishing chapter one of my book today, ebook today, and then say that again, repeat that statement. Then it'll tend to get integrated into your mind and into your body, and you'll just it's like rewiring your brain to accomplish that goal. And then step three is, or the third P is present focus. So have that present focus of relaxation, and as you drift off into sleep, you've got that, you're just focused on your three goals. And just not in an anxious way, but in a really, good way to say, wow, actually seeing yourself doing them and seeing them accomplished, and even feeling in advance, feeling how good you'll feel when those three things are done. And it's a fantastic feeling, I think, of power, empowering yourself to get those goals done, and feeling good inside. So if you can rewire, kind of be programming your brain right before you go to sleep at night, give yourself that real power of visualizing what it is you want to accomplish. Then what happens is, as you go drift off to sleep, you can actually make yourself an audio of that too, if you want to just like we do for our clients, record a visualization for yourself of doing those three goals, and then listen to it if you want, or just think about it, just visualize it on your own, and then you'll have really 8 more hours. 3 hours of productivity as you're sleeping, because your subconscious mind will be processing those images as you sleep. It'll be working on your goals for the next 8 hours, because what we think about before we go to bed tends to be what we'll dream about. So, think of the power of that. Usually we're thinking of whatever we're watching on TV or on the internet, that's what we're thinking about before we go to bed. I was using the example, I watched David Letterman a year ago interviewing Lady Gaga, and she was, stupid, crazy interview. And then I go to sleep and I'm dreaming about Lady Gaga. What a waste of a dream, right? When I could be thinking about my goals for the next day. So I'm just checking in. Can everyone still hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Make sure you're also there.
Yes.
Okay. So we don't want to be dreaming about Lady Gaga, but dream about what your goals are. And then the next morning when you're rising, you want to practice your three P's again. You know, it's helpful maybe if you have them right at or your three things that you want to do, have them written down right there next to your bedstand, and then view your three goals as you that you want to accomplish that day, and then say, you know, do the positive images, power words, present focus again in the morning, because the first thing that we do when we wake up, we're sort of setting the pattern for the day. And another way to think of the three P's, positive images, power words, present focus, is just see it, say it, do it. So see it is see the image in your mind. Say it is say the words, the power words, and then do it is like focus and deliver. Just stay on track, stay focused, and do what you said you were going to do. Stay right there. And then each hour, so when you start another focus hour, say to yourself, okay, I'm only focusing on blank, and then just fill in the blank. I'm only focusing on this one client, or I'm only focusing on writing this one article. I'm only focusing on planning out my workshop. And so just say to yourself what the goal is. And then, of course, things are going to get in the way. You know, things happen. The phone rings or email comes in or something. And if you can try to shut out, you know, just close off your email, put your phone on mute so that you're not distracted during that hour, that's really important. You know, unless it's an emergency, see if you can not be distracted for that period of time. And then after the hour, then you want to take a smart break and go for a quick walk or do something that really gets you out of that, allows you to refresh your mind. So then step four is to take care of your, you know, kind of create and realize your ideal day. So you want to take care of yourself first. So you ask yourself this question, you know, what would my ideal day look like? So I think, you know, if you can kind of, sometimes we just, you know, we're in such a routine, and sometimes it's not that healthy a routine, you know, say just getting up, getting a cup of coffee, and then sitting down at your computer right away is maybe not the healthiest routine. I know I've tried that before, and if I do that, first of all, I get back pain because you're in a sedentary position for 8 hours laying down, and then if the next thing you do is sit in another sedentary position for another hour or two at the computer, it's just your mind isn't woken up yet, and your back can start to hurt and other things because your body needs to move. So it's better to try to get into a good rhythm the first thing in the morning. So each of you need to find your own rhythm and habits, whatever that is that works for you. But an example of what I do is you want to take care of yourself and your health needs first before beginning your RGAs and your business revenue generating activities and coaching activities. So things like just getting to bed the same time each night is really important. These are just some simple tips for, you know, things that we know, but I think that really help are huge in terms of, you know, having a good energy level, getting to bed the same time each night, rising same time each day. I mean, that's what athletes do, top athletes, that once you start doing that, then your body responds so well, and it you have so much more energy when you get into that regular rhythm of trying to get 8 hours of sleep at least. Yeah, I know we're each different with our sleep requirements, but 7 to 8 hours is really is really good. And I find in the wintertime, 9 hours sleep is even better for preventing catching colds. What I do is I rise and I eat a small amount of protein within 15 minutes of rising. I think that really helps you to wake up. And so just something small, like a little bit of cottage cheese with a banana, something. Doesn't have to be a huge thing. but just something to wake you up. And then what I do is do a small amount of exercise while I'm hydrating. So I'll drink like V8 juice while I'm doing some, say, 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes of core exercises on the living room floor. I know everybody's different, and you don't necessarily need to do this routine, but I'm just giving you one example of a healthy routine, because I think it's important to move your body a little bit first before you start. I mean, it can really accelerate the process so that you can then begin to focus. So if you can do some sort of exercise right away, whether it's going for a short walk or run, I just do, you know, in the wintertime, I know it's cold out, so it's good to, easier to do things inside, you know, just some core exercises on the floor with a mat. And you can just drink some, like V8 juice. So you're hydrating, you're getting some calories, but not too much, so you can still do your sit-ups. And that way you, we all have to work off all those calories from all the Christmas parties, right? And so while you're listening, you could be, and at the same time you're doing that, you know, I'm listening to music and visualizing, planning my day, seeing each part. So I'm very productive during that time, actually seeing my three things, doing them in detail. So go through your to-do list and visualize that happening. And oftentimes you'll see all the details. Say, I need, within this first thing, I need to do A, B, and C. Other things will come up. So when you're exercising your body, you're actually exercising your mind, I think, too. And so the more you can move your body, the more you can move your mind starts to think better. And that way you don't need, like, massive amounts of caffeine or coffee to wake you up, because the exercise is waking you up in a more healthy way. And it's good to have something there to hydrate while you're doing that, like V8 juice, I think, is really good, or some hot tea or something. And then, then you have your breakfast, of course. I have a veggie burger. It's actually better. I found I get a lot more energy eating, starting with vegetables rather than just a bowl of cereal. Vegetables, there's just, you get so much more energy. So just a tip for what might work for you. And then, you know, because your highest revenue-generating activities are those that serve your highest and best goals in life. So if you can create a healthy, balanced lifestyle, take care of your own physical and psychological needs first, then you're going to be able to think more clearly and be much more productive throughout the day. I know if I'm not physically and psychologically healthy first, then I can't be productive with my RGAs. So, and I think the fear and anxiety and stress comes from not taking care of ourselves first. So that's really important to do that step four, take care of yourself first, and then you'll be much more productive in your business. So that's step one, two, three, and four. Let me just break here and ask, what comments do you guys have or questions so far about any of that? Does it, any of that make sense to you, or is that helpful? Are you guys there? Can you hear me?
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to know. Yeah, or do any of you guys do those sorts of things, or is that kind of brand, new to you?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Yeah, okay. So that's step four. So we got step one is you know, asking yourself, what are your highest level revenue generating activities or business activities? Make a list of those again, and then step two is schedule blocks of time for doing that, for those business generating activities, chunks of focus time. And then step three is your morning night routine. Making sure that you're doing, you know, taking care of yourself right before you go to bed, visualizing your goals with no screens, and then so that you can sleep well, and then morning getting up and doing a little bit of exercise first. And then step four is creating your, just balance in your day, your ideal day, so that you're, you start with some kind of exercise. And then step five is like, really, you know, thinking about your highest focus hour, you want to protect your energy. So focus starts with your highest level activities. And so I think if you want to be able to, you know, say you don't want to start maybe your day with thinking you're just waking up and you've got all this energy and your mind is really clear and you don't want to waste it by just, say, going through, you know, just doing a bunch of administrative work. I mean, we might have to do that, but if you can save that first hour for going into a place of total focus and really getting you know, choosing one focus activity that requires the most focus for you, and then go into that hour, you know, really doing exactly what you need to do for, you know, let's say it's something that's, you know, planning out the next 3 months. You know, that's something that requires a lot of focus and concentration. Well, you know, what's my project going to be for this first quarter of the year, or the first four quarters of the year? That kind of planning process takes a lot of work and energy. So you want to do that first when you're fresh, and when you don't have other things on your mind. So try to do that, go into that first hour place of total focus. Do the one thing that you need to do that day that requires the most focus, do that first before doing administrative stuff, say before checking your email. Because email is important, but I know if you start the day with checking email, oftentimes it's like you're letting other people I think there's a little bit of background noise. If you have some background noise, just press *6 on your phone to mute your phone. That way we can get a good recording. And then if you want to speak again, then just press *6 again to bring yourself back in to ask a question. That would be great. So thank you. And so if you start your day with just checking email, it tends to, you're letting sort of other people determine your focus for the day, and oftentimes emotions too. So it's better to, if you can take that 1 hour to do what you need to do before doing anything else, then you'll tend to be so much more productive. So maybe for you it's creating that a video or a training session for your athletes, or preparing for a client, or maybe it's doing one of your client consult calls that turns into a client. You know, talking with them first. You could do a free consult with somebody, and then turning them into a client. Or maybe it's creating a new product, an ebook, a chapter for doing one chapter a day. That's the sort of thing that takes a lot of focus, and so you want to do that part first. And then after you complete your sort of focused hour, your revenue-generating hour, the next step is to take a small break. So *6 after doing your highest focus hour is to take a smart break. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that in *6. With breaks, you know, if you work at a company somewhere, a break is like a coffee break where people stand around a water cooler and talk, and if this was just not really productive, it's a break, but it's not really a smart break, not that productive. So I think some better ways to take a break, you want to take a break that really regenerates you and allows you to just really get refreshed, recharge your batteries. The best way to do that is to move your body in some way. Walk away from your computer to clear your mind. When your brain is stuck, you want to move your body. I always like to say movement is improvement. Movement is improvement. That's a good kind of thing to remind yourself of, that we're all athletes ourselves, and we came up from athletic backgrounds, and even if we're not champion athletes right now, we're still, we know how important it is to move. So I think it's important to do that several times a day, not just once. And think of it like brain, body, business. You know, if I want to work my brain, then I need to also move my body, and then that's going to help my business, like the three B's. So go for a, you know, things you could do, or go for a short walk. And actually alternating left and right movements tends to clear your mind. You know, a lot of neuropsychological research shows that anything that you do, that any activity that involves alternating left and right movements, helps us to think better, to be more creative, to learn faster. It just does amazing things. It helps to synchronize the left and right parts of your brain. So if you're just walking, that's the left and right movement, alternating the left and right legs. If you swing your arms, left and right arms back and forth, even if you're doing that in place, like I'm doing it right now as I'm talking to you, just kind of, you know, lifting, you know, like marching in place, lifting your left leg, lifting your right leg, swinging your arms forward and back, just a simple thing like that, where you don't even have to go outside, that can help you to synchronize the left and right parts of your brain. So, you know, anything like swimming, bicycling, those are all, you know, alternating left-right movements as well. So do something that you know, walking is the most easy way, either walking outside or just walking in place inside would be really good examples of that. And then you create a menu of smart breaks, so activities that work for you, like 5-minute quick exercises. You could walk or run inside. You could do floor exercises. Get on YouTube and just type in floor exercises. You could do, simple sit-ups or push-ups. You could turn on music in your house if you're working at home and dance to some music, or an exercise video. There's stretching, you know, doing yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong is really good. Any of those things are really good for a smart break. I'm not talking about you could do it for a regular workout, a half hour, hour, but I'm just talking right now about a quick, like, 10-minute smart break in between your focus period, so that you can, it regenerates energy. You could do the fitness ball. You know, I always have one of those in the house where you lean back on the fitness ball. You can get an inversion table where you hang upside down. I do that a lot as well. Do a lot of my thinking upside down. It sounds silly, but it's really great for your back, those inversion tables. You know, another way to do a smart break is go on YouTube and just type in funny videos or comedians or your favorite comedian like Robin Williams, who just passed away last year. And, you know, just laugh a little bit. You know, it's better to get away, though, from screens, computers, and do something different for 10, 15 minutes so that you rejuvenate your mind. And it gives your eyes a break, because our eyes really get overused looking at computers. So that's step six. Step five was your highest focus hour, protecting your energy, so you use that first hour to really get something done in the morning. And then chances are if you get that one thing done, then it will lead to another, you know, excitement. So you want to keep going for a second hour and a third hour when you can through the day. And then step six is the smart breaks. Every hour I think every hour is the best. Or if you have to go 90 minutes, don't go longer than 90 minutes without taking a smart break. And then step seven is what I call different tools that you can use for forming edge tools. Using a timer is really valuable. So using a digital timer, or you can just search online for free digital timer, and you can put one on your computer and then set it for a specified period of time, say 50 or 60 minutes for your revenue generating activity. And during that hour, you can see it counting down, or better yet, I think it's helpful to put a timer in another room so that when the timer goes off, I use a kitchen timer. For me, when it goes off, I have to actually leave the room and go out and turn off the timer in the other room. So that creates, a break for sure. If you have it on your computer, sometimes it's too easy to just continue the activity that you're doing and not take that break. So it's better to put a timer in another room somewhere where you'll hear it. And then but honor that time so that you can take a break. And what happens also when you're taking that break and you're walking is that you go from the left brain to the right brain. So you're, instead of doing all the logical, analytical stuff, you're, when you're walking, your right brain is taking over and it's processing what you just did. So let's say you read an article or something. The right brain will take in that information, and you'll be able to process through what you just did in the last hour. You'll probably think of, oh, I need to change this, and I need to complete this, and other things will come up. So you fine-tune what you just did in the last hour, and you can be planning your next hour. It's amazing what happens when you're walking. You're able to just think things through and see a different wear a different set of glasses, see things through a different lens. And so during that time when you're using your timer, it can be, when you set the timer for that 1 hour, it can be like your cue. And you say to yourself, okay, I'm doing nothing else, no email, no web browsing, no phone calls. Say to yourself, I'm going to write something. Let's say, for instance, if you're writing, I'm going to write something without interruption. And you'll be amazed at what you can get done. So do your highest leverage goal first, whatever that is, the most important thing. And then you'll get more done in that hour than most people get done in an entire day, I think. So that's step 7, is using that timer, using tools that you can. And then step 8 is to reset your posture. I think, people overlook the posture, the importance of that. It's really important to sit tall, stand tall, walk tall, run tall, whatever you're doing, to think of yourself as being really tall. Usually when we're at our computer, we're hunched over, and that creates you're not breathing as well, you're not getting as much oxygen to the brain, so you're not thinking as well, thinking clearly. So what I do is I actually stand at my computer. I'm standing right now as I'm talking to all of you. I don't sit down. I just sit down occasionally for a break, but I stand at my computer. If there's a way that you can, if you're home and you can arrange a computer so that you can stand up, I'm much more productive standing than sitting, and it's much better for the back. And that way it encourages you to move around a little bit as you're working at your computer. You can stand, you can do squats, and just be more mobile. But if you do need to sit, then you could still stretch, and it's important to reset your posture so that you are sitting tall and sitting back as much as possible, a little bit back and not hunched over, to counteract the tendency to hunch over. So one exercise you can do to create that tallness, tall posture, is what I call the three balloons exercise. So you imagine there's three balloons. There's two balloons coming up from your collarbone, so right at your collar there. You notice there's your collarbones there. So put both one hand on each of your collarbones, and then just bring your hands up. And imagine there's three balloons, there's helium balloons, pulling your collarbones up into the sky. So you take those collarbones and just imagine there's a little string there attached, and there's helium balloons that are pulling your collarbones up. So that's the area that you want to be pulled up from, those two collarbones. And then the third balloon comes up from the back of the top of your head, sort of the top and a little bit back, and imagine that there's a balloon there, a helium balloon, a little string attached, and that there's take a little lock of your hair maybe and just tug on it. Don't have to pull hard, but just tug a little bit and feel that, and imagine that there's a helium balloon pulling your head all the way up. So now you've got the three balloons, two coming from your collarbones, and pulling you up from the front, and then the top of your head, the back top of your head, there's a third balloon that is pulling all the way up. And so that, if you can imagine that, that can help to, I'd say once every hour or so, just when you're sitting down at your computer or standing, see yourself with those three balloons pulling you up. It'll help you feel taller, feel more energized, feel more confident. And then you take your shoulders and pull your shoulders up, back, and down. So everybody can, if you want to do that right now, just take your shoulders and lift them up, you know, kind of scrunch them up toward your neck, and then pull them back as far as you can toward the back of the room, and then down. Then that will help you to do that a couple times. That will help you to reset your posture so that you're in the right position, so you're not leaning forward, but you're more upright, and actually a little bit back is even better. So that's step 6 or 8 is resetting your posture. And then step 9 is to reflect and evaluate. So at the end of the day, you know, ask yourself, okay, what went well today? And write down the things that you did accomplish, and then say, what can I improve tomorrow? So if there's things you did not get accomplished on your list, you simply move them to the, you know, your 3 things tomorrow. And then create a checklist of tasks accomplished. So as I was mentioning before, you don't want to just cross them out, but highlight them and reward yourself. Give yourself credit. You can actually create power words around the things that you did accomplish. So I think it's good to actually say them out loud, the what you did accomplish. You know, today I finished my article. You know, I feel good that I finished my article, and actually say that out loud, and maybe even tell someone else. If you have an accountability partner, tell them what you did accomplish, and that'll make you, it sets it in your brain. It helps you to feel like you're moving forward, so you get motivated to do the next task the next day. So say out loud and write down the things that you did accomplish. Move the to-do list, so to speak, to your task accomplished list, and then that list will continue to grow and get bigger. And then step 10 is to celebrate and reward yourself. Create a sort of a reward menu. So that's another task you all can do this week is create a reward menu. What your examples go into your so things that you could reward yourself with. Maybe you can go out and go for a swim, go for a jacuzzi, go to the beach if you're near the beach, go out for dinner or watch a movie, something fun that you could do yourself, get a massage, or just even just going out for a walk, something that you enjoy doing or some kind of special workout you like to do. Create a reward menu for yourself that things that you could do to help yourself feel really good. So just to review the steps. First, you want to identify your highest revenue generating activities and business generating activities. Make a list of those, and then schedule blocks of time for those activities. The focused time, and then create your morning and nighttime routine so that you create a put those thoughts, your 3 things in your mind right before you go to bed. And you want to, step 3 is your morning nighttime routine. Step 4 is create and realize your ideal day. Take care of yourself first, those health habits that I've talked about, exercise. And then creating your highest, step 5 is your highest focus hour, so protect your energy. Start with that first hour being really your most important day. You want to protect that hour so that you go into that. And think of it almost like like if you're an athlete, that was your competition, you know, and you were competing. I mean, you would not be thinking of anything else but that one, like Joshua, if you're wrestling, you'd be only thinking of that wrestling match, or Brett, you'd be thinking of that hockey match, or Amy, your tennis match, or Alex, your golf game. That, you know, you'd only be thinking about that. So that first focus hour, think of it that way, that it's that important. And then step 6 is after you finish your focused hour, it's kind of like you finish your competition. So take your smart breaks and walk away and do something healthy for yourself. Step 7 is remembering to use your tools, using your timer, and so that as soon as you set your timer, then it's like, okay, think of it again like a race or like a game. Okay, boom, the timer's on. Think of it almost like you're an athlete and that you're competing with yourself to make it to the finish line here and do as much as you can, be as productive and focused as you can during that hour. And then step 8 is reset your posture, and do that continually. I'd say at first you need to do it maybe once every 10, 15 minutes, and then after a while it'll become more ingrained. And step 9 is reflect and evaluate, you know, what went well that day. Create your list of tasks accomplished and what can I improve tomorrow. And then step 10 is celebrate and reward yourself with create that reward menu and, you know, maybe give yourself points for the week and then be able to accumulate points to do something. You don't have to get real elaborate with it, but just do something nice for yourself. So, so those are the 10 steps. And then I know, Josh, you asked me some questions about tracking tools, and I'm kind of looking at that more. I want to talk more about that on our next call. On January 22nd, you know, how to track your progress and also give you some more goal-setting tools here. So, I'd like to, I know we're out of time here. We went way over time, but that's okay. I just wanted to kind of reflect with you all. What was the most, what questions do you have? Or what was the most helpful thing you learned today? Any nuggets that you could share? You guys can all jump in.
Hi, it's Amy. For me, especially working from home, I find that I get really distracted. Like I'll get up and I'll go to yoga, then I'll come home and I take my dogs for a walk and I'll go to the grocery store. And then before I know it, it's 4 o'clock and I haven't done anything. And it's really important, I think, what you said, to build a time in your schedule where you really have to sit down and get something productive done, because it's really easy to just drift and not force yourself to, you know, to do things.
Yeah, exactly, and to honor that time. All right, that's good, because if we're seeing somebody else, like a doctor's appointment, of course we're going to go make it there.
Right.
But then if it's a time for ourselves, it's too easy to just say, oh, well, that's just an hour. I don't have to do that. I can let that go. So think of it like authors that write a book. I know they get up in the morning and they don't do anything but just kind of go into their cocoon and write for several hours. So I know, and we all have lives, of course. If you have kids and family, you have to deal with, there's a lot of responsibilities too. But if you, you've got to find that time for yourself, for if you can get up a little early before anybody else does, or after your kids are off to school, or in the evening when it's quiet, figure out when that quiet time is for you, and yeah, build it into your schedule, and then do all these other things to make it happen, like set a timer, and think of yourself as an athlete. You are all athletes, and okay, this is a race, a race to the finish, and put that kind of focus into it. That would be great, and I'm excited to hear from all of you next time about how all this works. So thank you, Amy. Yeah, others of you, Alex and Josh and Brett, what was the most helpful for you, or do you have questions?
Yeah, hi, this is Josh. I'm just going to jump in real quick. I really appreciate what Amy said, because it's true. We get so busy just doing things during the day. I know sometimes I'll take 2 minutes here to help my son with this thing, and then, you know, I'll help my wife with this other thing, and then, you know, there's something I wanted to check on real quick before I know it. All my important stuff is put on the back burner, and then I'm struggling to try to get that done, and then it just forced. You know, it's not a good way to do things, so I appreciate what Amy said on that. And then another thing that you said that I think is really helpful is to reward yourself. I know a lot of times I'll just get busy accomplishing things, doing things, and getting it done and moving on to the next, but it don't take time to sit down and reflect on the importance of what actually accomplished. I think that's important because it helps reduce burnout, stress out. You know, if you're taking time, supporting yourself, reflecting on what you did and what's important and what's next, I think it's really helpful to keep focused and keep going. And, you know, I think in the long run, you're going to make a lot more progress without burning yourself out.
Yeah, great, Josh. Thanks for mentioning that. And one of the things I was going to mention with rewarding yourself, I mean, there's many ways to reward yourself. It doesn't necessarily have to be a gift or an activity. I mean, it can be simple words, you know, like the power words we're talking about. I think words are really powerful. And just to say to yourself, you know, I feel good that I finished this article. I feel good that I, and just saying that to yourself and saying, I did what I planned to do today. You know, I finished this this outline. Saying that and writing it down and acknowledging it to yourself is really important, because we tend to just kind of go from one thing on the list to the next, and then we don't give ourselves credit. And that can, like you say, create the burnout, lead to burnout. So being able to just say, okay, this is my, this is what I did today, and give yourself that praise, that credit, can go a long ways, I think. And then if you have somebody else that you can share that with and say, this is what I did, this is what I did today, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow, then you can, that can help too, to make it public with someone else too. So yeah, thanks Josh, that's great. There's, I don't know if Alex, are you still there, or, and Brett?
Yeah, this is Brett. I'm still here. Yeah, no, all great stuff. Just like you said, getting started in the program, and so just absorbing everything you're talking about, and look forward to get more involved.
Yeah, good. Brett, was there anything that struck you? It was more or a tip that was helpful that you might try to implement?
I didn't have them all written down, but you know, just listening to talk. I mean, it's a lot of stuff. You know, just kind of. A lot of those things, you know, as a player, just kind of prioritizing and really was focused on the mental side of things. You know, nothing really right now, but all of it, you know, makes a lot of sense. And, you know, just want to kind of digest it all and just kind of put it all together and start applying a lot of things. But I do a lot of stuff that you talked about, you know, at least early on in the day, and just kind of clearing your mind and thoughts and a lot of stuff at night that you talk about. It's important to have the right thoughts in your mind before you go to bed, so I try to stay away from watching TV, especially the news and things like that. So just, you know, just continue on with a lot of those principles.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's one of the worst things to do is to watch the news at night, I think, because the news is always bad, right?
Yeah, it's all negative stuff.
Negative stuff, yeah. And so things that we have no control over most of the time. And so it can often end up creating those negative thoughts in your brain at night. So it's better to see, you can check in with the news, maybe do it in the middle of the day and not right before you go to bed. Yeah, just think of your goals and good thoughts before you go to bed. Okay, good. Thanks, Brett. And Alex, are you there?
Yeah, I think I like... it's a good reminder to stay focused on one thing at a time. I tend to say that all the time to the people that I talk to, but I think I have to practice it on my own more often. it's easier said than done sometimes. But it's easy to get distracted by a lot of things happen all the time with family and work and many other events happened 24/7. So yeah, stay focused on one thing. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, one thing at a time, focused, and then move on to the next. And because that's all our brains can really handle is one thing at a time, usually. And if we do a lot more, then we get overwhelmed and nothing gets done. So yeah, one thing at a time, make it really that one thing really precious. And it can be, if it seems too overwhelming, that one thing, then to chunk it down. You know, make it smaller goals. Make it a say, okay, how can I break this into three pieces here, and then just do the one piece. Just simple things like cleaning up piles of papers around the house. You know, it seems so overwhelming. So I think of it as, okay, file a pile a day. That's my goal.
Yeah.
File a pile a day. So take one pile of stuff and just file that. Don't have to do the whole thing. Just one pile, or make it a small pile. So just take just take what you can do that day and get something done, and then and write it down. We'll talk more about that next time too, how to log our progress and how to keep track of that, because I think that's good too. So yeah, so try some of these things this week, next couple weeks. Try the you know, writing down what are your highest revenue generating activities and coaching activities, business activities. You know, write down what your goals are for this year, your four quarters, what you want to accomplish in each of the quarters of this year, and then just start with each day writing down what are my three things, your action plan for the day, and then try to get a really good morning nighttime routine. Set an alarm, I think, for going to bed as well as getting up in the morning is really important. We set an alarm for getting up, but what about setting one for, say, half an hour before you go to bed? Say, okay, set an alarm that this is the time to start getting ready for bed and start your nighttime routine. That can really help you to kind of to honor that time to relax and to get ready for bed, to create that time for yourself. And, work on your smart breaks, taking really good breaks, using a timer. It'd be interesting to see how all of you do with that. And you're resetting your posture and then just reflecting and seeing, charting your progress there. And there's many ways to chart the progress. And we'll talk about that more next time, too, how to do that, because there's lots of different ways, and everybody probably has a system. We can share more of that next time, too. So, reward yourself. Create that reward menu. So, great. Well, thank you all for joining us, and, fantastic call today, and look forward to it. If you have any questions, you can email me, and then put on your calendars January 22nd, Thursday, at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. And we'll talk more then and keep going forward. I really am sending you all good energy for your goals here for this year.
All right.
So thank you, and we'll talk next time then.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.